T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sam Fortier, Washington Post, is going to join us. Talk about tomorrow night's Game 5, Nats and Dodgers. God, I hope Strasburg just pitches one of his games. He did it the other night in Game 2. He's going to have to do it again, though. It's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy. The Dodgers that were that close from being eliminated. Sounds cool.
That's a great pitching matchup, though. That's a great pitching
matchup
for a Game
5. I know Walker Buehler
five.
Is not exactly a chopped liver on the other side for the Dodgers. All right, Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. We talked to him before the one-game playoff. We said, Sam, hey, we might see you out in Southern California. We didn't think you'd be coming out to Southern California twice, maybe. But here you are.
Absolutely. I actually didn't make the trip for this one, but, you know, helping out from back on the East Coast, excited to cover the last game of the series.
Well, tell me how the folks in Washington are feeling right about now. I'm thinking that they're pretty pleased with the opportunity they have, considering that, I mean, all they had was a coin flip heading into the postseason to sneak past Milwaukee. They did that, and now they have that one-game situation again.
Absolutely. I put out a thing on Twitter the other day, you know, tell me how you're feeling about Game 5. Obviously, Game 5s are a little bit of a sensitive issue around here. They haven't made it out of the NLDS the last four times they've been there, and three of those losses come in Game 5. So, you know, people around here were saying, honestly, this season started 19-31, 13 ever to make the playoffs after being down, you know, 12 games under 500 during the season. Feels like we're playing with house money. So, I mean, for them even having the chance to upset the juggernaut Dodgers, obviously, you know, pennant winners last few years, it just, you know, just feels good to have the opportunity, I guess.
I think it takes a certain type of pitcher to be able to stand on the mound in a winner-take-all decisive baseball playoff game and be able to do kind of the things that Steven Strasburg has done in the postseason this year. Does he kind of have that temperament? What about him lends his performance to being, I guess, above his usual lofty standards in the playoffs? What about him makes him that kind of postseason workhorse?
A lot of guys say they don't feel pressure, and I'm not sure what to make of them most of the time. But Steven Strasburg, you know, as we've seen throughout the season, he just kind of jokes, you know, whenever we talk about, oh, postseason games or whatnot. And he says, you know what pressure is? You know, like, that it's being a generational talent. It's everyone hyping you up and saying, you know, you're the best thing since Nolan Ryan. I mean, this guy has as you guys well know, Steven Strasburg probably had more hype than any pitching prospect this century so far. And, you know, He's come through it. Obviously, he hasn't lived up to that billing necessarily. But to him, I mean, being in the postseason, he just said, I mean, the quote he had last night was, I just like being out there competing, seeing how my stuff stacks up.
Well, the one little quick story I'll share with both of you guys about Steven Strasburg, I've always covered his games. I announced his games his senior year of college. He was so good, the Essex were so good, that we actually broadcast their games, and I was the guy. And his very, very last start that he ever made at San Diego State was a Friday night at home against Air Force. And it's the only time I ever remember the entire college stadium, which is called Tony Gwynn Stadium, Sam, if you're not familiar with it. But it was filled to capacity. Like 4,000 people jammed in there to watch this guy. They knew they would, you know, many of them had never seen him pitch. All they'd done is heard of him, and they knew this was their last chance to see him pitch on a Friday night. And he went out and pitched a no-hitter. And I'm just saying, he can rise to the occasion. I mean, this is the kind of occasion that obviously he's going to be looking at tomorrow night. So I'm hoping, as a guy who knew Steven for a long time, that he's able to come up with this. But the Nats have really been playing great ball for a long time. I mean, I was just looking. They've had the same record as the Dodgers over the last 100 games. So even though they're playing with house money, they I don't know that they should be that big of an underdog in this game.
No, absolutely. And as you said, I mean, with Steven Strasburg on the hill, I mean, the Nationals all in the clubhouse yesterday, you know, all expressed complete confidence that he can go out and get it done. You know, as you know, I think we mentioned earlier, he has a 0.64 ERA in the postseason, which is the best in Major League history of anyone who has four starts in the postseason. or more. And obviously, you know, he's really reinvented himself this year. He throws a lot of curveballs. Almost 30% of the time, his fastball usage is down from about 50% to about a quarter of the time. So, I mean, really what you're seeing, and Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, expressed surprise at how much, you know, Steven was willing to throw his curveball, the counts he was willing to throw it in. So what we've seen really is a maturation from a flame-throwing kid who, you know, was hitting 100 and blowing dudes away, to a savvy veteran who's going to beat you, you know, by pitching more than throwing. So, I mean, this Nationals team, I mean, the lineup is there, the starting pitching is there, the bullpen is still the biggest question, but you got to feel good going into a matchup like this.
From one Nationals staple to another, Ryan Zimmerman, the moment he had last night was pretty special, and I think he's been in D.C. for a long, long time, and he's been a part of some really good teams. But for him to come through in that spot with this, I mean, obviously he's probably the guy who wants to get over the hump just more than anyone else, given how long he's been there. What does he mean to this group, just in terms of the presence he is and the fact that he's kind of been around for this? He's been through the highs and he's been through the lows, and now kind of here he is, right on the precipice of the NLCS again.
Baseball is undergoing a youth movement right now, as we all know. The Nationals are, you know, a veteran organization compared to most teams, and I think Ryan Zimmerman typifies that. And I think that, you know, when he comes out, and especially, you know, when they're 19 and 31 earlier in the year, he's one of the voices in the clubhouse that says, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low, don't let anybody see you sweat. And I think the reason why it was so important for him to do that last night was, you know, he's missed almost 3 months, most of the season, you know, with a right foot injury. And there's been some questions about whether he's coming back next year. He has a pretty big team option that, you know, we're not sure what they're going to do about that. The Nationals Park gave him a standing ovation in his last regular season game. Just the sense around here is he might not be around for much longer. But these phases of the franchise in the wake of Bryce Harper leaving, you know, Ryan Zimmerman coming through, Steven Strasburg on the bump for Game 5. I mean, this Nationals organization, it does feel like a sort of final stand of something.
Yeah. And Washington fans, I mean, we can go back past the Nationals to the Senators. I mean, I'm sure there's many people like that still in the D.C. area. I mean, the Senators, I think, won a World Series, what was it, 1925, if I'm not mistaken?
24.
Thanks, AJ. So, no, I mean, it's been almost 100 years since they've experienced a baseball championship in Washington. So, I mean, this is really a special time for them. Sam Forte is with us from the Washington Post. Sam, has anybody come out and said or mentioned or referred to how close it was that perhaps Dave Martinez was going to be let go as manager when the team was off to such a slow start? Or has that completely disappeared? Has anybody looked back on that and go, oh, my God, we were that close to changing managers?
Yeah, we actually went back and kind of identified the moment, you know, that it seemed like he was going to get fired. The Nationals, to get to 1931, got swept in New York by the Mets, and every game that they lost there was a bullpen collapse, and the bullpen sort of been the Achilles heel for this team. Dave Martinez gets ejected in the last game, and he's kind of stomping around arguing, you know, an argued check swing call with the first base umpire, just sort of a silly thing to get thrown out for. And that looked, you know, what we all thought, you know, on the beat was probably his last act, maybe his last act as Nationals manager. You know, general manager Mike Rizzo comes out and supports him. But it does, you know, if he lost another series, I think, you know, he might have been gone. But they go on a stretch for about a month and a half where they're the best team in baseball. And they really attribute that to Dave Martinez's, you know, it's a cliche, but he says we want to go 1-0 every day. And, you know, the clubhouse really rallied behind him and turned the season around. So I definitely think that they were, you know, a lost series, maybe a sweep away from losing Dave Martinez as the manager. But they stuck with him, and what a remarkable turnaround it's been.
Yeah, so we got them here on the precipice of the National League Championship Series. My question now would be, what does he do in Game 5 if things – say, Steven Strasburg, it's certainly possible that he goes 9 innings and gives up one run and they win. But if things start to go awry, if Strasburg goes 5 innings and he has to turn to his bullpen, I know he's got Doolittle and Hudson, he has confidence in those guys. Scherzer said last night he's probably not going to pitch Game 5, but you never know in winner-take-all baseball. How do you envision this thing playing out past Strasburg tomorrow night?
If the Nationals use anyone other than Hudson, Doolittle, or Patrick Corbin, things have gone wrong. Max Scherzer will probably not be... Max Scherzer will probably not be available. Anibal Sanchez might be available. We're not sure. But and Patrick Corbin, obviously, he got lit up the other night in the Game 3 loss. But, you know, they still trust him against left-handers. Really, Dave Martinez, the Mike Rizzo's big bets. He made three big bets at the beginning of the season on the bullpen. None of them panned out. So, really, you know, Dave Martinez is managing right now as if no one can get in the game behind the starter except for Corbin, Hudson, and Doolittle.
All right, Sam. Looking forward to it. Game 5, always fun. Good luck to the Nats and the city of Washington. I know there's plenty of San Diego Padre fans backing the Nats tomorrow night. Plenty of us. So we love to see the Dodgers go down if Washington can pull it off. And if so, we'll catch up to you again. Thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate coming on with you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.